So we're in this series we started last week. It's titled Temptations We All Face. And last week we looked at temptations that youth face. Today we're going to look at temptations that women face. Then next week we're going to look at the temptations that men face. The purpose of this series is to point out the specific temptations that various groups of people experience. Youth, men, women, etc. And so this lesson's important because many lessons are just in general. When they need to be specific, this will be more of a specific lesson. Rather than just saying we're all tempted, right? And whatever those temptations are, we're going to talk about the specific temptations that women deal with. Now, these might not be all your temptations, and there are others you could probably add to the list. These are just a few of the temptations. And so the Bible makes it clear we're all in a spiritual battle, and we need to be prepared to do battle against our enemy. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So Satan is after you. That's the picture we have in the Bible. He's a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. And if you give him the opportunity, he will. And that's why we need to know about these temptations and guard ourselves against them. The first temptation that I want us to look at today that I think women are tempted here, and that is to focus on outward beauty rather than inward character. To focus on outward beauty rather than inward character. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes these words. "In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, nor with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." And then over in 1 Peter chapter 3, looking at just verses 1 through 4, Peter writes these words. He says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely," that's important, "be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, which is the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." And so, I realize, ladies, that our culture puts a lot of pressure on you to look good. All right, there's a lot of pressure in our society for women to look good. And when you go to the grocery store and you're checking out, what do you see? Magazine after magazine after magazine that emphasizes outward beauty, right? You want to look good? You got to wear this makeup or wear this clothing or use this perfume. We have endless commercials and advertisement on TV, you know, for this makeup and that makeup. Americans spend over $1 billion every year on fingernail products, $6 billion on makeup, $8 billion on skincare, $8 billion on hair products, and $20 billion on diet. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money spent on looking good. And so the Bible says that man looks at the outward, but God looks at the inward. What God is concerned with is your heart. He doesn't care if you're big or you're skinny or you're tall or you're short or you have freckles or you don't have freckles. He doesn't care. that doesn't concern God. You're beautiful. He created you. He loves you. And you need to know that. He doesn't care how you look outwardly, but He does care what kind of person you are. That matters to Him. That matters to Him in a great way. And so, ladies, the clear teaching of Scripture regarding beauty is that you should focus on inner beauty rather than outward beauty. Now, I am not saying homeliness is next to godliness. I am not saying don't dress yourself up. I am not saying don't put on makeup. I am not saying don't use, perfume. Do all those things. Just don't let that be the main thing. Don't let that be the main thing. Your outward appearance. Your inner person. Your heart. That's what matters to God. That's what God is interested in. You see, inward beauty is way more attractive than outward beauty. We've all seen, people that are just, wow, on the outside, they wow you. But then you go and you talk to them a couple minutes, and you think, that's the ugliest person I've ever been with in my life, right? You know what I'm talking about. Some people are really good looking, and they know it. And they know it. And they can get on your nerves, right? So the world teaches you how to be beautiful for a little while. But God teaches you how to be beautiful forever. And that's what you want. So if all we do is paint the outside and we don't work on the inside, we're never going to be a beautiful person. And like I said, God doesn't care what you look like. I mean, you can be so skinny that you can stand under a clothesline in a rainstorm and not get wet. But God doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're skinny. Doesn't matter to Him. God doesn't care what you look like on the outside. Now, God's not saying, just be unkempt. I mean, don't make yourself up. That's not what God is saying. I mean, we all want to look good, right? I mean, we all want to. No one wants to, go around with hair uncombed and pants that haven't been, laundered in weeks or, something like that. We don't like that. I remember one day, I don't know what was going on at home, but I blew dry my hair and I shaved and came to the church building. And when I hit that door, I can see the reflection in the door. I hadn't combed my hair, right? I blew dry it, but it was just all crazy. It was not combed and there was no, hairspray or whatever to kind of put it in place and keep it in place. You know what I did? I just came on the office and worked. No, I didn't. I ran home. And I combed my hair, and I put some spray on. That's what I did, because we want to look good. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying don't look good. It just shouldn't be your main focus. It's your heart. It's your inward person. That's what God is concerned about. Just think, if you spent every day working on inward character, and think about it like this. If every day you spent the same amount of time working on inward character that you spent on outward beauty, what would you look like? Well, you'd look good, wouldn't you? Because you put a lot of effort into looking good. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're not saying that's wrong. We're just saying that shouldn't be the main thing. That shouldn't be the emphasis. And so, ladies, and this is important for you to keep in mind, no matter how beautiful you are, Mother Nature and Father Time will eventually get a hold of you and put you in a headlock. And you're not going to look real pretty on the other side, right? That's just what happens. We grow old. And as we grow older, we don't look as good as we did in our 20s and 30s, right? And it's just the way it is. And so if all your emphasis is on the outward, and you reach the point where Mother Nature and Father Time has got a hold of you, then what? Everything you tried to do is for naught. You should have been working on that inward person, inward character. It's what God wants. All right, number two, the second temptation that women have. Men can have this too, but women have a problem with it. We all have problems with temptations, all right? None of us can stand, I can't stand up here and say, oh, I don't have no temptation. I got plenty of temptations. I got more than I can handle at times. 1 Timothy chapter 5. The second one is gossip. Gossip. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, Paul says, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Gossip. Gossip is a temptation that I think all of us face. Women, I think, more so. And I think it's because of the makeup of women. Women are more relationship-oriented, whereas men are more achievement-minded. And so there's a difference. You know, when you're relationship-oriented, you're always talking. You're always in conversation with people. And so that lends itself to gossip, if you're not careful. You see, it doesn't take long in a conversation before it turns to, have you heard? Have you heard? Or by the way, you've heard those conversations, right? And so let's look at some types of gossip. I wish I could have put these up there, but the first one is slander. Slander is gossip. But what is slander? Slander is when you lie about a person. When you say things about a person that's not true, you are slandering their character. And that's wrong. And we should never do that. And we should never engage in speech where we're lying about someone, where we're saying things about them that just simply aren't true. Sometimes we can gossip in that way. Not all gossip that way. Sometimes it's rumors. Rumors. You don't know if it's true or not, but you're going to go ahead and put it out there anyway. Just go ahead and shove it out there. But you don't know if it's true. Listen, if we don't know something's true, we shouldn't say it. We shouldn't say it. Not if we don't know it's true. Now, if it's true, then, you know, okay, it's true. But if it's not true, you shouldn't be spreading rumors. And then there's planting seeds. Why does he stay at the office so late every night? See, that's a little seed. You're planting a seed. Oh, yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? Come to think about it. Huh. And that's how that goes. You know what I'm talking about. And we've all done it. And then there's what we would call whispered innuendos. Whispered innuendos. I know those two seem to leave the same time, the office every night, together. There's an innuendo there. You're implying something there. You're wanting this person you talk to say, oh yeah, yeah, I've noticed that too. Maybe there's something going on there. And then here's the one that I think we think is justified. And it's what we would call prayer requests. Prayer requests. So what we would say is, oh, by the way, sister or brother, whatever the situation, we need to pray for so-and-so because, and then we tell what brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so are doing. But it comes across as spiritual because you're asking for prayer. when you're really just wanting to spread the information. But you can do it under the guise of a prayer request. And it seems like, oh, that's good of you. So ladies, there are a few things that are more destructive and divisive and hurtful than gossip. In Romans chapter 1, verses 29 to 32, Paul says this, beginning at verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things, he says, are deserving of death, and not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So, I want to give you a little acronym that you can just kind of think of, and it's the word THINK. THINK. And each of these simply stands for a word. So, the first one, is it true? So you just want, so you get information that's been handed to you. One of the questions you need to ask, is it true? I mean, is it accurate information? And that's the T of the word THINK. And then the second word is it helpful? So if I spread this further, is it helpful? Is it going to help this person? Because if it's not going to help them, then I shouldn't spread it. Because I want to do things that help people, not hurts people. And then there's the I, is it inspiring? So if I say this, will it inspire someone? And then the next letter, N, is it necessary? Do I even need to say this? I mean, if I don't say it, will my life go downhill? I mean, do I need to say this? Is it a must? Do I have to get this out? A lot of times things we say, it's not necessary. We don't have to tell anybody. But there's a something when you have a secret you got to tell. And then the last letter, K, is it kind? So ask yourself, if I spread this about this person, is this the kind thing to do? So this word think is very helpful when rumors or gossip comes my way. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Then the third and final one that we're going to look at today, sin, is worry. Worry. Men and women both struggle with worry. But women seem to be a little more susceptible to worry than men. And I don't know how many times, ladies, have you heard your husband say, don't worry about that. You ever heard him say that? Don't worry about that. Women worry. They worry about a lot of things. And a lot of things they worry about, I mean, I can understand. A lot of stuff, it's family. You know, it's people they love. And so they just don't want nothing to happen to them. But anyway, there's a couple of scriptures that I want us to think about. One is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Notice he says, don't be anxious about anything. What are you to do? Let your requests be made known to God. If you have a concern, if you have a need, tell God. God will take care of that for you. So rather than worry, give it to someone who can do something about it, because you can't. A lot of times, things we worry about, things we can't change. We don't have the power to change. We're not God. I mean, someone, you know, gets cancer. Are they going to die? I mean, we're worried. You can't change it. They have it. Another text real quick, and then I just want to say a few things about it. In Matthew chapter 6, another text that a lot of time when we talk about this topic, we go here, Matthew 6. And I'm only going to look at verses 31 to 34. Jesus is summing up. Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 34. Jesus says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So men and women both struggle with this particular sin. But I think women struggle with it, as I said, a little bit more. Now, I doubt whether or not you're going to find a gravestone that says, "So-and-so died of worry." You're probably not going to find that. But it happens. Believe it or not, people do die from worrying. They have heart attacks. They have strokes. Things of that sort. And they die. No, their tombstone is not going to say they died from, you know, stress or worry. But that is, in fact, what ended up killing them. Doctors warn us all the time of the effects of stress. And if you want to make yourself sick, worry. Just worry. And you will be sick. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I really don't know why it is these human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." So let's talk about what Jesus said about worry here. Worry is to simply miss the point of life. Worry is to miss the point of life. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry," this is verse 25 in Matthew, "about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more important than clothes?" Worry is illogical, according to Matthew 6:26. Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Listen, if God takes care of the birds of the air, you don't think He's going to take care of you, the apple of His eye, the one who's most important to Him? I mean, God loves the creation that He's made, animals, but He loves you more than He loves the animals. And if He cares for them, don't you know that He will care? It's illogical to think He cares for them, but He's not going to care for me. That makes no sense. That's worry. Worry is a complete waste of time, according to verse 27. Jesus says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Can you do it? Can you add 1 minute to your life by worrying? Can you add an inch to your stature by worrying? No. No, you can't. So why are you worrying? Worry is incompatible with faith, according to verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like these." He says, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, of little faith. Worry is actually sub-Christian, according to verse 32. Jesus says, for the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Worry is unnecessary, according to verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. In other words, all the things we worry about, God will give them to you if you will simply ask Him and trust Him. Now, I'm not saying God's going to give you everything you want. That's not what I'm saying. When it comes to the things we need, necessities of life, God will give you all of them. He will give you all of the necessities of life. He promises that He will. We need to trust Him and have faith that He will. So it's just, worry's unnecessary when you have an avenue of prayer. And going back to Philippians 4:6, if you just take your worry list, turn it into a prayer list, and God will take care of all that. Stuff that you don't have control over. Most of it you don't have control over. When it comes to health stuff, you don't have control. You got some control. I mean, you control what you eat or whether you take meds or control whether you go to the doctor or not. But you can't control sometimes illnesses, you know, heart disease and cancer and other types of problems. And then lastly, worry contradicts common sense. In verse 34, Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Think about it. Why does God give us only one day? Because that's all we can handle. We can't handle tomorrow. And that's why He says, don't worry about tomorrow. You worry about today. Today has enough cares, enough concerns of its own that you don't need to bring in tomorrow. Because you bring in tomorrow, you get overwhelmed. Deal with today. Because the Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. So turn your worry list into a prayer list. Learn to trust God for everything. He loves you more than anyone else, and He knows what's best, and He will take care of you. That's what the Bible teaches. So we either believe this or we don't believe this. Now, I think it, let me think here a minute. I didn't plan on this, but Jean Woolbright, when her husband died, Marcia said she went up to her, and she embraced her to hug her. And she looked at Marcia and said, we either believe this or we don't. I thought that was an amazing response. In other words, if we believe this is all true, nothing bad happened here. My husband just transitioned. He just went to the other side. He's with his Lord. He's good. Because that's what faith says. And so today, if you're struggling with some of these sins that we're talking about today, and maybe they've just been overpowering, and you just feel like, man, I just can't get a control of this thing, why don't you ask God today to help you with that? Come and ask for prayer and ask for your brothers and sisters to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you about those things. You don't have to be specific about what's going on in your life. Just tell us you're struggling. We'll pray about that, and you can receive God's help. But the way to get help is to come to Him. You're not going to receive it if you don't come to Him. If you need help this morning, we urge you to come. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, this morning we would urge you also to come. We're going to sing a song, and we want to invite you to come forward as we do this. If you have a need, come as we sing.